Paranormal Perception is produced by 22 Creations Multimedia, LLC. This week, prepare to travel back in time. Back to the early years of Paranormal Perception. This is a Paranormal Perception Rewind. As I mentioned the last time we were together, I'm taking a break for these next 2 weeks. Well, a break from new episodes. You'll be seeing a lot of promotion for OC Paracon. I'm not going to be recording episodes, but I am going to be making a big push for Orange County Paracon. So be prepared to get deluged in a good way for everything OC Paracon. In the meantime, let's go back, like you heard in the intro, let's go back in time. And back in time before the dark times, let's put it that way. Back to season one, which was in 2018 of Paranormal Perception. This is about a week or 2 weeks after we had covered the Old Norse Yule Gatherings, an event that took place in Sacramento, California. We were there covering the event. We, the two original co-hosts after the original, Wednesday Darkling and Raven Hawthorne, were the co-hosts at the time. And there at the Old Norse Yule Gathering in Sacramento, we met Stefan Thorsman, who was a rune reader. This episode you're about to listen to, it's with Raven and myself, and you're going to hear the history of runes and also how runes are used today, or at least how Stefan thinks they should be used today. So, without further ado, from season one back in 2018, here's our conversation with Stefan Thorsman. So for this one, we've talked about, yeah, I know it's called Paranormal Perception, but we talked about everything else. We don't stick just to the ghosts and the paranormal investigators. We've talked to some of them, but we've also done Bigfoot. We talked to the demonic stuff a little bit. We've done all that. Something that actually both of you and Wednesday, said, hey, let's talk to him. Stefan Thorsman was also at the event with us a couple of weekends ago at Sacramento. Stefan is a rune reader. And both of you guys tried to explain to me what it meant. And we said, you know, instead of you guys trying to explain it to me, why don't we have Stefan explain it to us? So
let's have Stefan explain.
Yeah, we did just that. And if you want to see it after you listen to this interview, if you want to see Stefan and Raven, they did an interview on camera that's on our YouTube channel. I'll put a link on it on the show description. But in the meantime, before you go there, listen, because here is Stefan Thorsman. He joins us now on Paranormal Perception. Stefan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. So first of all, let's start with not your history, but history of runes. Like, give it for those who may not be as familiar as they think they are. I'm sure people have heard runes, whether in a film or in a book or something. But tell us a little a history of runes. Where do they come from?
Well, the actual source is debated historically. The Elder Futhark, which is the 24 rune system that is most commonly used, was used from approximately like the 2nd century. The earliest surviving Elder Futhark inscriptions date from that area all the way up to the 8th century and was used to write Proto-Norse and Proto-Germanic, and which is part of the Proto-Indo-European, and which is the precursor of all the Germanic languages, like English and Frisian, Dutch, German, Danish, Norwegian, etc. And each of the runes, there's 24 runes in this alphabet, and the reason it's called a Futhark, that's F-U-T-H-A-R-K, or C, is because the first letter spelled out, F-U, it's got, you got Fihu, Fehu, Uruj, Thorisage, and the Thorisage rune alphabetically is TH. And then you've got Ansuj, Rytho, and Kenaj. So it spells out Futhark, just like our alphabet. The first two letters are alpha, beta. So there's 24 runes in the Elder Futhark, and each one of these individual characters has its own name. And the names were reconstructed probably from later alphabets, rune poems and stuff. A lot of people feel that the Elder Futhark could be considered the original runic script.
All right. You seem to know quite a bit about this. So obviously you've been doing this for a while. What made you start? Like, what got you interested?
Well, back in 1994, I was going through a terrible divorce, and I was beginning to think deep down, getting very dark, and I could feel myself slipping, and I didn't want to do that. So I decided that I needed something to keep me focused, and I had walked away from Christianity years ago, and I was kind of drifting spiritually. And I was working on a radio station at the time. This was 1994, and they were we'd had a big earthquake in California in 1989, and I was in Santa Cruz, and pretty much the whole downtown Santa Cruz was destroyed in the 89 earthquake. And so they had been rebuilding it, and I was up there because they had rebuilt the downtown section of Santa Cruz, and they were having a lot of grand openings, and I was down there working, doing a live remote. And I was in a little New Age shop and found a Buddha pendant that I felt that I needed to have to kind of keep me centered. And I was making a payment on it. I was standing in line at this little New Age shop, and there was a woman standing in front of me with a bag of runes. And I had seen the runes in the past. I'd always been drawn to them. I would go stare at them in the glass case there at the shop. But I was thinking, no, I'm looking into Tibetan Buddhism right now. I don't want to get into something else. But I said to her, I go, what are those? And she said, these are the runes. And I don't do anything in my life without going to the runes first. And I said, really? You feel that strongly? And she said, I absolutely do. So I said, okay. So I walked over to the bookshelf and picked up a book that had some runes, that came with some runes, and I bought it. I went back to my hotel room, and I read the book and did my first rune casting, and it knocked me out of the water. It was absolutely dead-on accurate. And I went, wow, this is amazing. So I went back to the bookstore. I bought three more books on runes, and I dove into it. I found my spiritual path through the runes. I found my ancestral folk faith, and I use the runes every single day. I've been keeping a runic journal every day since 1995.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. It's almost kind of like it was your calling all along. It just took a while to find it.
It did. And, you know, it's funny because in the 70s, I was looking for a spiritual path, and like a lot of people, I had turned to the Native American religious path. And I decided, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. It's an earth-based religion. It respects the earth and everything on it, the animals, the plant. And I started attending powwows. And I was at this is 1974. This would be 1974. I was on the Rosebud Sioux Reservation. And we were attending. I was with a girlfriend at the time and another couple. And we were attending an all-Indian powwow and rodeo there on the Rosebud Sioux Reservation. And we had been there for 3 or 4 days, and it was Saturday night. And we were hanging out there at the rodeo slash powwow. And the guy that ran the camping area where we were staying was Sioux. He was from the reservation, and he was also a medicine man. And he came walking up to me because I noticed that everyone was getting dressed in really fancy clothes, that women were putting on really just amazingly beaded, beautiful dresses that were just detailed and intricate, and the men were painting up and putting on bells and stuff, and I didn't know what was going on. And he walked up to me, and he said, are you having a good time? And I said, yeah, I'm having a great time. And he goes, good, good. He goes, well, you're going to have to leave now. And I said, wow, okay. Why? And he said, because we're going to do a ceremony, and it's only for Indians. It's sacred to the Sioux. Hmm. And I said, I'm thinking to myself, but I'm an Indian. You know, I've got the buckskin on, and I had really long hair at the time. I had my hair in braids, and I was really trying to do my best to embrace that life and that culture. And he said, let me walk you back to the car. So we got up, and we were walking to the car, and he put his arm around my shoulder, and he said, I know what you're doing. And I said, you do? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you're not going to find what you're looking for here. He said, you need to go drink from your own well. And I said, okay. And I had no idea what he meant by that. Well, then flash forward to 1994, when I found a book called A Book of Troth, and it had to do with the Norse religion of Asatru and the runes. And when I was reading that book, that was one of the books that I picked up, it hit me like a thunderbolt, and I went, this is what he was talking about. This is my well. This is the well of my ancestors, and not another culture, not a foreign culture. This is the spiritual path of my ancestors. And the runes were something that my ancestors used and practiced and did divination with. And so it brought me, I understood at that point what he was talking about.
Right. It kind of brought you home in a way.
It really did.
Yeah, I understand that as well. Mine is more of pagan druid type of path, but it took a few years for me to find that as well. And it's almost like you wake up from like the sleep that you've been in. Like, this is life. This is how things are supposed to be.
That's it. I felt that I'd been wandering around in a forest, and I had finally found the path.
Absolutely.
I was finally on my path, the path that I was supposed to be on. So it's a beautiful thing, and I attribute all of that to the runes, because I would never have found it without the runes. So the story of the origin of the runes comes, of course, from Norse mythology, with the Allfather Odin hanging on the world tree for 9 days and nine nights. And he hung there, sacrificed himself to himself, pierced himself with his spear. And then as he was gazing down into the depths, he saw the runes. And he reached down and, screaming, he grasped the runes and then fell back to earth. And he gave the gift of the runes to mankind. And it's an amazing divination system. It's an amazing gift. It's one of the most perfect instruments for self-realization and to get confirmation on life questions that you might have. Or even the mundane, Raven. You know, it's amazing. Now, the fifth rune is Rytho. And Rytho is a rune of travel. And every morning I pick a rune to see, kind of get an idea how the day is going to go. And I used to be on the road quite a bit. I used to travel quite a bit. And I used to fly around a lot and would have to go to the airport and get to the airport on time to make my flights. And when I would pull Rytho in the morning, if I pulled it reversed, I knew then that there was going to be difficulties in travel that day. And so I would leave extra early. If I was going to leave it at 8 o'clock, instead I would leave at 6:30 to give myself extra time. And it never failed. Something would come up. I would hit rush hour traffic or car trouble or something would delay me. But because I left earlier, I still made my flight. So it's kind of like the runes, they kind of give you a cheat sheet. They kind of give you an idea what to look out for on, you know, on that particular day.
That's I definitely could have used that on the day that I was flying out to California. I had to run a couple of times to catch some connecting flights, so I almost didn't make it. That would have been helpful. So on that note, how easy is it to use runes?
Well, it's relatively easy. Like any system, any divination system, it takes time to acquire the skills to use it. But if you get the right book and you have a good set of runes, then you can figure it out. It's pretty easy to figure out because, you know, if for a standard three-rune reading, you pull your three runes, and if you're not sure what the meanings are, if you've got a good book, you can go to the book, and then you can figure it out. But the thing about the runes is it's pretty self-explanatory, and it will the answers, as soon as the runes come up and you read what the runes mean in the book, whatever particular book you're using, you'll get your answers. So it's not hard. It's just it takes time, and when I say it's not hard, I should back up. I've been working with the runes since 1994, and I still feel like an amateur. You know, there's sometimes when I'll do a reading for myself, and I'm sitting there looking at the runes, and I'm going, I don't understand this. And so I will call up one of my kinsmen who also works with runes, and I'll say, okay, this is what I got. This is the spread I've got here. I've got this first, this second, this third, and bingo, he gives me the reading. And then after he gives me the reading, I look at the runes, and I go, oh, my God, there. So it was right there in front of me. I didn't even see it.
There's the answer.
It just takes time. It takes time, and a lot of times it's very hard to do a reading for yourself. because we all have our own self-doubts. We all have our own inner demons that, you know, that create the fears that stop us from accomplishing and understanding things.
Yeah, speaking of readings, that's time in the in our show when somebody here, not me, Raven, will do her reading. So we're going to take a little break. We'll continue the conversation with Stefan Thorsman right after Raven does the weekly tarot reading. So hang on. Wait. Sorry, no tarot reading from Raven. Instead, a regular break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Stefan Thorsman.
Paranormal Perception, 360 Degrees, with Henry San Miguel.
So only one story for you during this break, kind of a big one though. A new study published in Spirituality and Clinical Practice explains that an individual experiencing hauntings and ghostly experiences, aka you and me, may have haunted people's syndrome. According to psychologist Brian Lathe, quote, haunting phenomena are complex intertwined phenomena involving personality, ideology, culture, and previous experience towards making sense of an event or series of events deemed haunting, unquote. In collaboration with Jim Horan and other colleagues, they recently finished a five-year research program which culminated in 20 peer-reviewed research papers and in their recent book, Ghosted. The primary goal was to use research to build a better understanding of hauntings and related paranormal phenomena. Haunted people syndrome was one of the primary theories built out of this research. Lathe and Horan proposed four core features of haunted people syndrome. In other words, this is why you and I have been seeing ghosts all this time. Number one, the meaning-making or the narrative created around haunting experiences is influenced by personal backgrounds, beliefs, and personality characteristics. Number two, anxiety and distress regarding hauntings are a function of the nature, the closeness, the spontaneity of anomalous experiences. Number three, distress and unease make anomalous experiences more likely to occur. Number four, anomalous experiences tend to be contagious. In other words, anomalous experiences can spread to others. So, all of us listening to the show right now, listening to me, all of us that have had paranormal experiences, that have seen ghosts, we've experienced haunted people syndrome. According to the study, this is as normal as having allergies or an intolerance to lactose or a certain type of food. Now, I need to have these psychologists on the show ASAP to discuss this. But seriously, how does this finding make you feel? In plain English, at least the way I'm reading it, all of us that have seen ghosts is because of our anxiety or distress, because of the way we feel about anything haunted, that we consider haunted. That's why we've been seeing ghosts. Not that the ghosts or spirits are real. Yeah, I know. So until they come on the show, what do you think? Especially in particular, those of you that have been, that like me, my first experience was at 4 years old. I've said it on the show many times. All of you that have been experiencing things long before I was even alive, pretty much your entire life, you've seen ghosts and spirits. How does this study make you feel? Because according to the study, it's because of anxiety and distress, or how your brain makes you feel about haunted things. Go to our Facebook, email me, Henry at paranormalperception.show. Let me know how you feel. And like I said, I am going to definitely have these two psychologists on, and should be a lively show. Stay tuned for that.
Paranormal Perception 360. Paranormal Perception and Unearthing the Supernatural invite you to join them at Orange County Paracon. On the weekend of October 1st and 2nd, meet Henry, Hero, and Sean Klein, along with all of these paranormal experts. The Hollywood Good Witch, Patty Negri. Show host, author, and Queen Mary expert, Nicole Strickland. Hollywood stunt coordinator, investigator, and author, Rick McCullum. Director of the Palmistry Institute of Los Angeles, Vernon Mahabal. Psychic medium, investigator, and author, Jeff Dwyer. Show host and psychic medium, Pete Orbea. And Allie and David Bender from Bender Family Paranormal. Author of Ghosts of Greystone Beverly Hills, Cleet Keith. Neurodivergent medium empath and author, MG Stevens. And other surprise guests. You'll enjoy 2 days of paranormal speakers and spooky vendors. Single or two-day general admission, as well as two-day VIP tickets, are on sale now. All info and tickets can be found at ocparacon.com. We'll see you in October at OC Paracon.
Paranormal Perception continues.
So that is the reading, and we're going to continue our conversation with Stefan Thorsman. Stefan is a rune reader. We met him a couple of weekends ago at the event in Sacramento. We decided to have him on. In the first part, we talked a little bit about the history of runes, where they come from, and also how Stefan got introduced to the runes. Now, Stefan, let's continue talking about exactly what Raven just did. Are runes, because many people may not be clear on that, can runes be used for, we'll say, divination, or is it more for like communication, or what is the use of runes, we'll put it that way?
Well, for all the things that you just mentioned, they're most commonly used for divination, but it's also, like I mentioned before, it is an alphabet. And so you can write in runes, and that was very common back in the old days. I'll use the Viking days, and even after the Vikings had stopped pillaging and became traders, they used the various futharks to inscribe their names. They have found graffiti in the Middle East when the Vikings went into the Middle East and became what were known as the Varangian Guards. And they were in, in Syria and Iraq, and because they were great warriors, and they have found runic graffiti carved into like walls and in temples and stuff, where things like Bjorn was here or Bjorn loves Helga, stuff like that. It was for really mundane stuff, but it was used as an alphabet. But it's most commonly used now for divination, very much in the same way that Raven just did. She read Tarot, and I do divination with runes. And most people nowadays who buy runes buy them for divination purposes.
So how popular is rune reading?
Not very, because most people still don't know about it, which is fascinating to me. You yourself was at the Old Norse Yule Festival a couple of weekends ago, and there were tarot readers, there was an aura reader. When I go to events like holistic fairs and stuff and do readings, there'll be five or six tarot card readers. There'll be angel readers, there'll be aura readers, there'll be past life recoverers there. But I'm always the only rune reader there, and people aren't familiar with it. And I don't know why. It's just because they've been around for a long time.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious as well. I know even in the New Age store that I have here downtown, I think we have maybe one book on rune reading.
Right. And it's probably does it come with a set of runes?
I believe it does. Yes.
Yeah, that could be Ralph Bloom's book. And because his book series became so popular because it came with a set of runes instead of, it's like buying a car manual and not getting the car. So if you don't have the runes, how can you do it?
Right.
So he included a set of runes with his book and sold just millions of copies. Unfortunately, he gave the runes all incorrect names. He added a rune called the blank rune. There is no blank rune. That's a New Age concept. He invented it, and he based the meanings on the runes in his book on the I Ching.
I have heard of the blank rune, so that was interesting that you bring that up, and I did not know that. So if somebody actually is interested in learning to read runes, where would you suggest that they start, or where should they go?
Well, it's amazing. When I started doing all this, there was no internet. So I had to hunt down books, and I would write letters to authors. But I would start out with, if you just Google runes, you'll get hit with just a myriad of various different websites. The same thing if you go to Amazon. Now, I can give you the names of some authors that I recommend. And I really this, if you want to learn the runes, get the books by these authors, and you'll learn. That's the same way that I did. And then actually studied under a couple of the authors and to learn. So, but there's a gentleman by the name of Edred Thorsen, and Edred is really prolific, and he's credited as really bringing runes to the forefront in the 20th century and 21st century. And he's been writing about runes since the late 80s, and he's got just a ton of books out there. So any of the books by Edred, and Edred has a brand new book about divination and how to read runes. It's a brand new book, paperback. I think it's only 17, 18 bucks. I recommend it. There's another author by the name of Paul Rise Mountfort, and he's got a book on runes, and it's terrific. It's really, really a good book. Freya Oswin, we call her the mother of runes. She is she's Dutch, but she just hits the globe. She's lived in England. She's currently living in Spain right now. She travels all over. She's got books out. She's got three good books. Leaves of Yggdrasil was the first book that I read by her. And what's nice about her books are you're getting a feminine perspective of the runes. So if you get some of the books by some of the guys and then get Freya's book, you're going to get a lot of balance there.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely good balance. So I have to ask, what is your favorite rune?
My favorite rune is, I think, would be Ansush, because Ansush is the fourth rune. It's the rune of the spoken word. It's the rune of communication, of using words to make your life better, to free yourself from anything that's holding you back. Communication is language is such a beautiful art form. We can create and mystify and we have this unbelievable language, and there's so many different languages, unlike any of the other animal species on the planet. You know, we have words that we use, and in the Havamal it talks about Ansush, and it says, you know, when I chant this rune, the fetters fall from my hands and feet. And what that means is when I use my tongue, when I use my words, my voice, I can free myself from situations that are holding me back or stopping me from moving forward and accomplishing my goals. This is why when there's anything of importance that has to be addressed, I do not use text or emails, because texting and emailing is dead. It's a dead form of communication, and for whatever reason, it is inherently always read in a negative way. If someone can send you a text or an email, and they can say good morning, and you write back, good morning? What do you mean by that? Are you implying that I'm not having a good morning? Why would you say that to me? Why are you so angry? I'm like, good God, all I said was good morning. Whereas if you pick the phone up and you say, hey, man, good morning. How are you? They hear your voice. They hear the warmth in your voice. They hear the intonation. And so that's why that's my favorite rune, is because it's all about speech and the holy, you know, the Odinic breath and the gift that the Allfather gave us.
You know, for obvious reasons, I think that's going to be my favorite rune also. And I was smiling when you were saying that, Stefan, because I'm sure you remember this from when you were in radio, because that's where I come from the radio side. It's funny, I've always said it's almost like a running joke, but not really, because it is true. It seems that all of us who are in the business of communication, radio, television, whatever it is, we seem to be not able to communicate with each other for some reason. And then when emails, texts, and all of this stuff came up, see, I'm the same way, and I'll say the kids, from my point of view, they call me old because I'm the same way. I say, can't you just pick up the phone and call so I can talk to you? Just text me. I don't have time to talk. Text me. You're holding the phone in your hand. What do you mean you don't have time to talk? Just pick up the phone, dial. There you go. Because again, you're right. It's funny. I did an experiment here a long time ago with one of the original crews that I had, the on-air team, where exactly like what you said, Stefan, I sent out an email. Every single one of them understood it the wrong way. One thought I was angry. The other one didn't know what I was talking about. The other one, okay, whatever. And then the other one got the message. So yeah, it communication, not just with a microphone, with anything, it's very, very important. So, like I said, I think for obvious reasons, that one's going to be my favorite rune also. Now,
indeed.
Yeah, going back to, again, how we met you a couple weekends ago in Sacramento, why you and Raven and Wednesday, why you both said, we need to speak to him, You do readings. You do it publicly. So talk about where can people get a hold of you, where they can learn more about you, websites, anything, however they can get a hold of you. Let us know all of that.
Well, they can always go to stephanthorsman.com, and Stefan is S-T-E-F-N. And then Thorsman, T-H-O-R-S-M-A-N, StephanThorsman.com. And give me a couple of weeks because we're rebuilding that. We shut it down and we're rebuilding it again. We're adding some pictures and some new information. So that'll be up in a couple of weeks. If you're in California, I'm at a shop over in Grass Valley called The Cult of Gemini. It's a beautiful little shop. It's got all kinds of herbs and magical items and tarot and crystals and rocks and just great stuff. And a couple of genuine witches run the shop, and they are magical. And I read runes there every Wednesday in Grass Valley from 12 to 5.
Okay, and I'll have all of that in the show description for all of you guys. And again, we met you at an event. We've got a week and a half to go in 2018, but do you have anything planned for either early 2019 or anything in the new year?
In 2019, I'm going to expand and start doing more shows because one of the things that I loved introducing people to the runes and showing them the runes, because it did so much for me, and it continues to help me out to this day. And I love sharing this amazing divination system with people because it never fails. When they start using the runes, it they grow, they start getting the answers that they're looking for. And what the runes do is they just give you confirmation. You're wondering, should I do this? Should I do that? You pull some runes, you get the answer, and it gives you the freedom to move ahead. And I love introducing this system to people. So I'm going to be doing a lot more shows in California. And I'm hoping to, there's a couple of other shops that are in cities not too far away from me that I'm hoping to maybe start doing readings more than just one day a week, and do readings hopefully two or three times a week here in California. So I'm just going to keep moving forward. I make runes. I make rune sets, and I do readings for people over the phone. I do runic life coaching. I just, anything that's rune related, I'm into it. I help people make their own sets of runes, which I really encourage people to do. You know, that's your runes are going to really speak to you if you've made them yourself. And but if you don't have the ability to do that, then just get a set of runes somewhere. Just what's most important is using the runes. That's the most important thing. And don't use Ralph Bloom's book, because it's just not very accurate. You know, get your books by the authors that I mentioned.
Yeah, and I'll put those on there. I'll get them from you, and I'll put those on the show description also, so everybody knows which one to go to. So again, it's Stefan Thorsman. He is the rune reader. He is, as you just heard it for the past half hour, very, very cool guy, very knowledgeable. Stefan, thanks a lot for taking some time talking to us once again. You're welcome back here in Paranormal Perception anytime. And if we don't get to talk to you, I'm going to wish you all much, much success in 2019.
Henry, thank you so much. And thank you for the time and taking the time to reach out and letting me expose this incredible gift that the Allfather gave us. The runes will bring you home. They certainly will. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you, Raven.
Back from season one, the first season of Paranormal Perception, that was Raven Hawthorne and myself speaking to Stefan Thorsman. All of his links are on the show description for you. Next week, it's our birthday. Well, America's birthday. The United States of America will turn 246 years old on July 4th. However you celebrate the 4th, include Paranormal Perception. I'm going to be releasing a special Haunted History of America next Friday. In 246 years, I think we have more than enough haunted history to talk about, including into modern times. I know you probably think, yeah, Gettysburg and, you know, the wars and 9/11 probably, but there's more things even more modern than that. Yeah, talking about the pandemic. So as I teased on the last time we were together, as I teased on that episode, Hero and Sean Klein, they're also going to join me for the special 4th of July episode. Because if anybody has anything to say about America's haunted history, you know it's them. So that's going to be next Friday, July 1st, as we head into the 4th of July weekend. Until then, you can follow our social media. If you haven't and you'd love to meet us in person, get your tickets to Orange County Paracon at ocparacon.com. Everything available there. So, till next week, everybody stay safe, and we'll be back to begin to celebrate our birthday, of course, the paranormal way. If you enjoyed this episode from the past, you can listen to more of the early episodes by visiting paranormalperception.show and going to the past seasons section. This is Paranormal Perception with Henry San Miguel.